Before we get started today, I just wanted to take a minute to invite you to our next group consult. If you are a trauma treatment professional and want to gather with other like-minded professionals to gain support, insight, and share your own knowledge and resources, join us. You can present or you can just listen. This opportunity is open to all trauma treatment professionals. It will be held virtually and we will meet for 1.5 hours. Don't miss it. Register and learn more at traumatreatmentcollective.com. Welcome to the Trauma Treatment Collective podcast. My name is Nina Keeler, a licensed marriage and family therapist and trauma specialist. In this space, we will share tips and tools on how to grow your trauma treatment skills while also keeping your own mental health in mind. Welcome to the Trauma Treatment Collective podcast for our first-time listeners, and welcome back to our followers. Today, we have our first guest on the podcast. I had the pleasure of chatting with Raina LeGrand about helping clients with identity and trauma treatment. Raina tells you a little bit about herself in the beginning of our conversation. I really enjoyed our conversation, so let's get to it. Raina, so we're going to get started with our interview and talk a little bit about your journey in trauma treatment and your passions and the things that you're interested in. So tell us a little bit about your journey with identity and trauma treatment, and how did you get started and become passionate about identity and trauma treatment?
Yeah, so I am mixed. My dad is Black and my mom is white. And my whole life has been like a really stark awareness of that experience of like the duality of those identities. And feeling like caught in the middle a lot when I was younger. That was like a big part of my experience and narrative, and finding that in other ways as well. My sister's adopted, and so that kind of added a different element to our family. I didn't identify as queer when I was younger, but that's an identity that I've come into. I lived in in the past I was, you know, much skinnier than I am now. I was also in the past at times much larger than I am now. So I've just felt like I've walked this line and really kind of come a long way with it. And so, but even though I was a chubby little mixed girl, I was a dancer, and even though I was super self-conscious, whenever I was on stage, I just, that like all fell away and I just really loved it. And so I've also always been really interested in movement and just like bodies and health and all of that. And so after college, I did a yoga teacher training, and then that was my life for about 2 years until I went back to school for my master's in social work and master's in public health. And at the time, didn't know I wanted to be a therapist, but started to realize through my practice and, you know, field experiences and stuff that I really liked one-on-one work. I'd done a lot of different kinds of teaching and health education, and I still love that, but I really love working with people one-on-one, and what a vulnerable experience that is. And so, you know, once I graduated and I started practicing therapy, I started looking for more opportunities to learn because I didn't feel like I learned very much in school. And I fell into a number of like trauma treatment trainings. The big first major one was sensory motor psychotherapy that really helped me feel like I had more structure for connecting what I knew about yoga and mindfulness into my sessions with clients. And also like learning about trauma so early in my career was such a gift because, you know, I think I've seen you post before. Did you know that you were treating trauma? Like, when did you realize you were actually treating trauma? Right. Cause it was like in every client I was working with, especially being of color and the people who were drawn to me. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to mostly practice in group practice and now in my own private practice. So that's given me a lot of space and creativity to make connections between my personal experience with identity and belonging to, you know, experiences of traumatic stress. Cause I definitely, experienced stress and shame related to my identity and bullying when I was younger. And, you know, I also like knew that my experience in my body that I'd had most of my life, a lot of discomfort, but it, now in other parts of my life, like definitely more pleasure and comfort and joy. It just knew it was all connected. And then I started to sort of see that in my work with clients too, like coming into our bodies and inhabiting who we are makes it feel like we're not walking upstream.
Well, I think that leads us into my next question, which is like when you are talking to clients and you're like trying to explain to them the importance of identity and how that fits into their trauma treatment, like how do you explain that? How do you help them to come to the understanding like this all works together? It's not a separate thing of like, oh, I had this experience over here, but then I had this traumatic experience over here. Like helping them to bring it together. Like, how do you, what have you found to be helpful in communicating with them about that?
Think context and culture. So, providing psychoeducation is really important in trauma treatment. And I see part of psychoeducation being talking about the context that we live in of in the US of, white supremacy and colonization and capitalism, and helping people see that those things actually have an impact on their lives and what has happened to them and what they feel like capable of or invited to do in their lives. So a lot of like recontextualizing for people. And granted, I think, a number of people who come to my practice are very aware of that context, but they haven't let it seep in on like an emotional level. Like they know it intellectually, but they feel like maybe they're the exception. And so helping them redevelop that context and then really just thinking about like how they experience belonging and culture, and just like their perception of like who they are. So, one of the modalities I love as well as parts work, and the idea is that there's a self, we have one body. There's like this wise self who is capable of just sort of holding us and holding space for us and being calm and courageous. And then we have all these parts that are born when it feels like we need extra support or like we don't have the resources that we need. They protect us, or there are parts that are exiled. But I think a lot of cultural and religious and spiritual lineages also have this concept. Spirituality is something I've been kind of exploring myself because it wasn't necessarily a part of my upbringing. So I don't feel like I have a lineage to fall back on, but in my studies of yoga and different African traditions and Buddhist mindfulness, like there's this concept of self. So helping clients see that they have a self, they're just not always that self isn't always like what's like they're where what they're embodying at that moment.
So with the next question, it's like, what are the signs that clients might benefit from identity work in their trauma treatment? And I think you hit it, a little bit there with that piece of like they are not embodying self. Like self is kind of separate, it's kind of fragmented, in how they're walking around in the world and how they actually see themselves, maybe bare, or maybe even not see themselves quite yet. Maybe they see themselves this way and they have some idea that, I'm not really connected to self. Or they may not even realize they're not connected to self. Would that be fair, or anything you'd like to add to that? That would be signs that might benefit, that clients might benefit from identity work in their trauma treatment.
Yeah, I think I notice a lot in my own experience and in the clients I work with, like a reaching for what they think they're supposed to do, what success looks like for them, or what kinds of relationships they should have, or how their partner should treat them. Like there's a lot of reaching, like somatically, like leaning forward, like fight or flight, right? Versus being able to like settle back and sit into yourself and trust that things are coming to you. And of course, like we have to reach for things that we want in our life, but what sort of place is it coming from? So that's like one of the main things, but also, yes, everything you said.
The word that was coming to my mind when you were saying that reaching is like it's a, I hear clients say a lot of times, I should be doing that. I should be doing that. I at this point in my life, I should be, here. I should be partnered with this person, or, whatever, maybe.
Those shoulds come from somewhere that's not usually inside.
Nice. I like the way that's framed. Thank you. If community members wanted to know more about identity and trauma treatment, where would you direct them? I don't necessarily know that I've ever really read anything, but I'm not a big reader, by the way. So there probably is tons of things out there, but would you direct them to some research, some literature, a certain author or a podcast, or where would you direct them if they wanted to be like, this is pretty cool, I want to learn more about this?
Yeah, there's no single resource. There's like a few big ones I would definitely recommend. And they're, really people who, maybe have a background in, like me, social work or psychology or something like that, and have themselves sort of like made those connections. 'Cause I think a lot of this work specifically is, it's not new, but like as far as like a sort of a field or a system, it's like evolving. So I would recommend a lot of books and people, like Resmaa Menakem's My Grandmother's Hands. He has a free e-course. There's a book called Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome by Joy. Oh man. Yes.
DeGroy, maybe. I don't know if I'm
Yeah.
saying that right, the last name, but
Yeah.
yeah, Dr.
And
DeGroy.
then I guess there is some research by a person named Edward or Eduardo Duran. And he actually wrote a book about, or he has written about the soul wound. So that's like a Native American perspective. So those are more books. Some of the people I follow who are doing more practice-based stuff are Amber McZeal. She's really big, especially into ancestry. Prentice Hemphill of the Embodiment Institute, I think, is a good person for sort of like somatic situated in identity. And truthfully, like a lot on Instagram. It's not like there's necessarily like huge institutes and big wigs, right? Like there's just everyday people doing this stuff and talking about their own experience is really cool. Trans Embodiment Project is one that I like on Instagram.
So it's really kind of getting in community with people who are doing the work and kind of connecting and listening and having conversation and reading and being stimulated by people's experiences and what they're sharing, and then having your own experience with that.
Yeah, and find the people locally too who are, rooted in your identity and doing things like yoga or cultural gatherings or something.
What I'm kind of getting a sense as we talk is that it's hard to do identity work outside of community. Like people are not, it is a personal experience. It's kind of an experience within self, but it's also a reflection back with people, other people, and having some conversation and community and connection and trying on different things and listening to, so it's hard to do that work just in self. Nice. How do you stay healthy being a mental health professional? Like, we're gonna switch a little bit gears of like, okay, you're doing this heavy work, you're talking to people about their identities, holding space and being with them in this journey. How are you staying healthy? What are your ways? Because it's a big part of the podcast is really like, okay, great, let's talk about all the modalities and the theories and the interventions and the things and how to do the work, but also let's talk about us as professionals and how we take care of ourselves and make sure we can do the work.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's like a few different categories. Like there's things that help me hold boundaries, like, knowing how much I need to charge in order to make my needs. Like having systems in place that reduce the amount of time that I have to spend doing things during the week, like having an easy scheduling system. I mean, and this is like more private practice leaning, I guess. But they're like things that have taken me some time to really get into place and feels good. And then I think like for me, having time to like feel like I can create or play or express. So I've really gotten into painting and taking painting classes and taking dance classes and things like that. And then, staying connected to people in your life, having your people you can talk to about work and people who you don't have to talk to about work. I have a friend who, we'll send each other voice notes throughout the day as like a quick sort of debrief between sessions and stuff. And so yeah, it's really like a holistic approach,
Yeah,
I think.
all different parts of you
Yeah.
taking care of all different parts. But I mean, I think that goes back to the identity work. Like, you got to know your part of it.
Yeah.
You got to know all the different parts of you and how to take care of them and do that work to be able to really do good, self-care.
Absolutely. Painting classes definitely used to feel like a luxury, and they are, because some of them can be pricey. I'm like, really? Really? But also, like, I understand people, teachers got to get paid. But it's been something that I've learned to like prioritize in my budget is like, I need this time.
It's important to me. What's one thing you wish you would have known before starting your career journey? I know you said that you didn't feel like you learned a lot in grad school, which
Yeah.
people can resonate with that thought.
Oh, yeah, there was so much I wish I would have learned. What sticks out to me though is I wish I would have known I didn't have to take every client on. And I wish I would have received more training and support around deciding who's a good fit for me, or if I've worked with them for X amount of sessions, then how do I, refer them to someone else? Because, there were people I worked with for a long time who were really extremely draining for me, and not necessarily because of their level of need or care, but because we just weren't a good match. Like, we were in two different worlds, so, or like what they needed was just something I didn't know anything about, but I was like a generalist, right? And so, that's just like a lot of pressure early in your career. So I wish I would have been more, had more education around, like, yeah, discerning who's a good fit for me.
More permission to say no.
Yeah.
Or permission to say it's okay, I'm going to focus in this area. Those,
Yeah.
yeah, you do come out of grad school kind of being like, okay, I can treat everything.
Right. Exactly. And if that's kind of one of those shoulds, like nobody told me that I didn't have to take on everyone, right? Like, that's something I really had to find out for myself. And then I was able to find those resources, but they weren't, baked into to school or your licensure process or anything like that.
Okay, so our last question, and then we can see where we go from here. But what's one thing about you that you don't mind sharing with our community?
Yeah, so I think I kind of already brought it up. What I was thinking of sharing was just about how much I've been enjoying painting and dancing in particular. They feel like very playful practices for me that help me feel connected to my younger parts. I mean, like I said, I grew up dancing, and I took this dance class, and it was just interesting how easy it was to fall back into it. Like, it just felt so natural and good, and it's encouraged me to be more silly, I think. Like, silliness is something I've really come to value in my life and in my practice. Whereas like other parts of me in the past would really feel like I had to, fit in and be serious enough or mature enough. And it's like, those things don't have to, they're not mutually exclusive, right? You can be silly and mature.
They can go together.
Silly and grown.
Grown silly. I'm grown
Yeah.
silly.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So you talked a little bit about your practice, and I know you're in private practice because we know each other outside of this opportunity that we're experiencing today. But I would definitely want to know if there is space in your private practice, if people are like, man, I have the perfect client I want to refer. Like, where do you practice? Do you do any stuff outside of the state that you're in? Just anything to share with our community so that if they have people that they can refer to you, or if you have, services for professionals as well, definitely share about that. So just kind of an open floor for you to just tell people how to connect with you and what you have to offer to our.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So I definitely work with individuals who are exploring identity and who struggle to answer the question, who are you? So I like working with mixed people and multiracial people. I like working with first generation people, with gender expansive people, people who are trying to figure out where to land. I also work with couples who are, navigating issues related to identity, whether that be interracial couples or couples who, in which one person has recently come out as queer or trans, or who want to kind of, talk about differences in their family. So I practice therapy in the state of Michigan. I'm based in Ypsilanti, which is between Ann Arbor and Detroit, basically. So people are welcome to come in person if they're nearby, but I do work with people all over the state. And then I do work out of the state a little bit. I do some couples coaching out of state, depending on the level of need. And then I also do like my somatic coaching offering is nervous system support. So it's a 5-session package to really focus on something specific like anxiety or dissociation. Just for people who kind of I before I sort of refocused on identity, I did more somatic work more broadly. So this is sort of my way to stay connected to that and work with more diverse groups of people as well. And then I've been offering almost monthly workshops on different topics, your nervous system and your relationship. My one in October is called What the F Am I Feeling? Got some parts workshops coming up later this year. So those are the primary ways that, I work with people, and then I'm available for workshops and, things like that for different organizations and groups. I occasionally will do things specifically for professionals, but nothing on the calendar for that right now. Probably in spring, there'll be something there. Yeah, and I'm on Instagram.
On Instagram. What's your Isaac, do they call it a handle?
I think so. It's Root to Rise Somatics.
Root to Rise Somatics. Okay, we'll make sure we put that in the show notes so people can follow you if they'd like to. So yeah. Well, that's it. I appreciate
Great.
it. It was a good conversation. I love learning. I mean, even though we are connected outside of this, I have learned about you. So I appreciate just the opportunity to sit down and talk with you and that you take time to share with me and the community about yourself and your work and the beautiful things that you're doing. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Yes, thank you. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed our episode for today. Just a quick reminder before you head out, just make sure you head over to thetraumatreatmentcollective.com to learn more about our monthly group consults. We would love to have you join us.